How did I end up in this nightmare? I am a stranger to these dark emotions now living inside me. Who am I? When did I cross over the line, and will I ever cross back? From across the bench, I hear the whispers from their hearts. Beneath the fluorescent glare, the parties appear hostile, their arms tightly folded, as if in straitjackets. A deputy stands behind them, menacingly with a gun. These two people who had once flirted, courted, and exchanged wedding vows now seem to regard each other as kryptonite. I can see their hands trembling. My black robe often has that effect. Each comes to court with an agenda. Each seems determined to achieve vindication by convincing me of the other's loathsomeness. Then, and only then, can they ensure that the court punishes the guilty party for the personal wreckage they suffered. With the steam of hatred coming off their bodies like smoke from a greasy hamburger, they will attempt to raise children together. I have been a judge in domestic relations court in Chicago for almost 15 years. For 2 decades prior to that, I had sharpened my skills as a divorce attorney. But then I gave up being a warrior for the right side because it became clear to me there was no right side in a divorce. Like an eye for an eye, the only thing that happened in the end was that everyone was left with no eyes. As a survivor of divorce, my goal was to get through to this couple and the thousands just like them before they took the next step forward. How could I implore them to alter their perception of their divorce and of each other? Was there a way to restructure this heartbreaking life template that was continually played out before me? If I could answer these questions, their lives might be affected positively. After years of experience, the answers to these questions have come into sharp focus, and the results are more profound than I could have ever expected. What did I want for this couple? I wanted them, a husband and a wife who had damaged each other, who had even devastated each other, to realize their anger would destroy them and infect every aspect of their future. I wanted them both to realize that this was what was happening. It finally struck me. They did not yet realize this. They had no idea of the extent to which their anger and resentment would injure those around them as it damaged their own hearts, souls, and destinies. They had relinquished their strength by relying only on their attorneys and the court system to determine their future, oblivious to their own power over this potentially treacherous divorce process. There, in that 40-foot square courtroom, this couple would either fuse with their anger, resentment, and bitterness, or follow a path leading to peace through wisdom, understanding, and eventually forgiveness. They were facing a fork in the road that would change their lives forever. The couples I see in my courtroom are desperately searching for emotional release. They smuggle their pain into their testimony, even when it is not relevant to the topic. They do so at every opportunity, hoping that somehow the court will know how to lessen their agony. In the end, their desperate emotions remain unattended and unsatisfied. The sight of couples who participate exuberantly in a demolition derby always disturbs me. In an attempt to alleviate pain, even though the pain is transitory, they lash out and irreparable damage is done. The court system was not built to house these emotions, and attorneys are not trained to reduce this kind of suffering. Divorcing people expect relief far beyond what the legal realm can provide, from their attorneys and the courts, and they often end up feeling like members of a powerless, unprotected class. They are disappointed in their attorneys, and their attorneys are disappointed that they are not appreciated. In my personal life, when divorced people discover I am a member of the judicial system, they are exploding to tell me how the system has failed them. People want to believe that life should be fair and bad things should not happen to good people. They expect emotional injustice to be righted by legal justice. The feeling that the rules of fairness have been violated leaves them limited choices on the emotional menu. Either they believe they did something wrong and blame themselves, or they think they were in the right and the administration of justice failed them. The unfortunate fallacy in believing that emotional injustice can be righted by the legal justice system creates anger and feelings of being cheated. This sense of being treated unfairly happens not just in those cases of which there was all-out warfare, but even in those in which disputes were eventually settled. Years after the divorce, both groups of people understandably still have enduring bitterness and quiet, brooding grudges.